We're going to spend some time now on state politics. Indiana Public Broadcasting's Brandon Smith joins us. Thank you so much for being here.
Absolutely. Happy to be here.
We're going to talk a little bit about what happened in October with Indiana Attorney General Curtis Hill. And first of all, tell our listeners, catch our listeners up on what the issues were with Mr. Hill and why he's facing the potential of having his law license in jeopardy or losing his job.
So it was a long time to get to this week of a disciplinary hearing for Curtis Hill. This started all the way back in March of 2018. And that's when four women, a state lawmaker and three legislative staffers, say that Curtis Hill groped them, inappropriately touched them, at a party celebrating the end of the 2018 legislative session. That happened all the way back in March of that year. And the allegations themselves didn't actually come out to the public until July of 2018. Several legislative leaders and the governor called for Hill to resign. Hill refused. He maintained that he had done nothing wrong. And then there was an investigation by the Indiana Inspector General, who looks for sort of like ethics violations in state government, as well as an investigation by a special prosecutor who was looking into the criminal side of the allegations. And the special prosecutor decided in October not to press charges because he just didn't think there was enough evidence to pursue a conviction for, especially as he's basically put it, for low-level crimes. One of them would have been a misdemeanor. Another, at most, would have been a low-level felony. And he just didn't think it was worth, as he said, he didn't think it was worth the time and the money to try and prosecute a so-so case. And then the inspector general concluded that there had been no ethics violations that she could prove, although she was not complimentary of Curtis Hill's behavior. And so that was October of 2018, and it felt like that was the end of the story a little bit. But then somebody made a complaint to the State Disciplinary Commission for attorneys. And the Disciplinary Commission looked into it and filed an official complaint against Curtis Hill. And that's been playing out over the last several months. That happened earlier this year, towards the beginning of the year. And so that's been playing out over the last several months about appointing a hearing officer and getting everybody together on when the hearing would take place and getting witnesses deposed and gathering all the evidence. And that literally took months, to where we finally arrived in October of 2019 for this nearly week-long disciplinary commission hearing.
Who made up the commission, and was it conducted like a trial?
Yeah, it was by and large like a trial. You had both sides who would call witnesses, who would examine and cross-examine those witnesses. Evidence was introduced before the hearing officer. It was just the hearing officer who was kind of running the hearing, and she is a former Indiana Supreme Court Justice Myra Selby. She was appointed by the state Supreme Court several months ago, as is typical when these things actually go to a hearing. A lot of times they don't. A lot of times they don't get this far in the process. The attorney who's being complained about, if you will, has to basically press the issue a little bit, say, hey, I didn't do anything wrong, kind of thing, and it has to go before a hearing officer. But this sort of public spectacle of it is extremely unusual. This almost never happens. So it was a lot like a trial, though, with some of the rules relaxed. As an example, several of the witnesses testified about, well, this person said this thing to me about what had happened, or I heard from this person about what had happened. In a normal court hearing, that sort of thing is not allowed. It would be hearsay. And Curtis Hill's attorneys generally objected to their testimony as hearsay. But the rules are a little relaxed here because it's not the same burden of proof. In a standard courtroom setting, the burden of proof is beyond a reasonable doubt. It's the highest setting, the highest standard, if you will, for that burden of proof. Here it's much less. It's called what's called clear and convincing. So the burden of proof is much lower for Curtis Hill. This is not a criminal trial. And so some of the things that you would normally not see in a courtroom setting were present here, but it was largely conducted like a trial.
So there were witnesses for and against Curtis Hill, and some of that testimony was new to the general public. Some of it had come from, was similar to what we had heard before during the initial complaint regarding the party. What were some of the new allegations, and how many were there?
Right. So The first day of the hearing, we just heard from the four women who talked in great detail about the allegations. For those of us who have been covering this all along, almost none of that was new. We were just hearing them say it out loud sort of for the first time in detail. The second day was corroborating witnesses called by the Disciplinary Commission. And that was a lot of things we hadn't heard before, in the sense that we heard people saying, yeah, I saw him, you know, he was very drunk. I saw him wrapping his arms around people. He was described as creepy or even predatory by one of the witnesses. A Republican staffer, I might add, called Republican Attorney General Curtis Hill predatory during this our disciplinary complaint hearing. But then Wednesday was, I think, the bombshell of the week, which was a brand new allegation, one we hadn't heard before. And that was from a completely separate incident. A former employee of Curtis Hill's, when he was the Elkhart County prosecutor, says that he made an explicit sexual advance to her while he was still Elkhart County prosecutor and just before he left to become the attorney general. We hadn't heard that before. We hadn't heard any there had been whispers about, oh, what was this guy like back when he was in Elkhart? But we had never heard anything concrete. And this woman actually came forward specifically for the Disciplinary Commission complaint to tell her story. And that was, like I said, I think that was the bombshell of the week. It was certainly the most new information we'd heard.
So what happens now?
Well, it's a long time before we know the answer to that question. There's some procedural things that happen over the next couple of months in terms of preparing the record and both sides sort of filing things with the hearing officer. The next sort of big step is in the hands of that hearing officer, Myra Selby. She will make a recommendation for what should happen to Curtis Hill. And that could be anything from absolutely nothing to a reprimand or probation of his law license, which means he'll keep it, but we see probation in some cases means he has to take sort of sexual harassment classes or something like that, or they're keeping a closer eye on him, things like that. On the more serious end, it could be suspension of his law license, anywhere from a day to 30 days or forever. Well, the forever being they revoke his law license entirely, they disbar him. I don't think anybody expects that. But I would say generally my prediction all along has been at most a public reprimand, which functionally would have no impact on his ability to do his job. However, if his law license is suspended for even, say, a day, it calls into question whether he can continue being attorney general. Because one of the only qualifications to be attorney general in Indiana is you have to have a law license. You have to be able to practice law in Indiana. If that is suspended for even a short amount of time, it raises questions that we quite frankly don't know the answer to about whether or not he can continue being attorney general, and that would probably play itself out in court. But it's a while before we find that out, because even after Myra Selby's recommendation, which could come early next year, whichever side doesn't like it, so whether that's the Disciplinary Commission or Curtis Hill's team, can appeal that to the state Supreme Court, the five justices. There's more procedural stuff that happens before they make their final decision. So it could literally be 5-6 months before we ultimately know what happens to Curtis Hill.
Brandon, thank you so much for your excellent coverage of the State House and all things Indianapolis and statewide. Thank you so much for coming on WBOI Presents to allow us to benefit from that expertise and from your experience covering the state. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me on.